Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host Vidya, and as always, this is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. Having a baby is one of the most joyful events of our lives. Then why are some moms overwhelmed and depressed? Is it a normal part of being a new parent, or is there something more serious going on? Today's topic is postpartum depression, how common it is and how easy it is to not recognize it. My first guest is Dr. Nirmaljeet Dhami. Dr. Dhami is the medical director of maternal outreach mood services at El Camino Hospital. She's completed her residency in adult psychiatry and has been in practice for the past 8 years. Welcome to Parent Talk, Dr. Dhami.
Thank you.
My next guest is Geeta Narayanan, who is a marriage and family therapist intern and has worked with adults, kids and families. Welcome back to the show, Geeta.
Thank you for having me again.
Listeners, if you think you might be suffering from PPD or know someone who needs help, do call in at 510-770-1550 and ask our expert panel your questions and share your thoughts. Let's begin with you, Dr. Dhami. Let's first define what postpartum depression is and how is it different from the normal feelings of being overwhelmed that all parents go through.
So postpartum depression is a unique depression that occurs after childbirth and can occur up to a year after childbirth. Normally, as when you began your talk, Vidya, you mentioned that it was pregnancy and childbirth are considered a joyful experience. But research suggests that one in eight moms who gives birth, that's about 12.5% of women, develop postpartum depression.
So that's a really high statistic.
Right. So the most common complication of pregnancy and childbirth is postpartum depression, and it is under-recognized and, of course, under-treated. And you're right, when a woman is pregnant and gives birth, there is something called postpartum blues, which is normal mood changes like tearfulness, feeling sad, feeling easily overwhelmed, and some mm-hmm. changes in sleep, which are quite common and occur in about 80% of young moms or new moms. Mm-hmm. And these are usually transient. They clear up by 3 or 4 weeks after birth. Mm-hmm. But if symptoms persist, and they are coupled with a sense of excessive guilt. Moms feel that there is a lack of bonding and attachment with their babies, persistent changes in sleep cycle, hopelessness, and at times suicidal thoughts, then we are looking at a serious postpartum depression which requires attention and care. One other symptom that is quite common in postpartum is high anxiety. Mm-hmm. So unlike most depressions where people feel sad, can't get out of bed, have low energy, postpartum depression is very unique because it carries with it a component of very high anxiety, which number one should be recognized and number two should be mm-hmm. addressed by treatment. And I can talk more about its manifestations as we go along.
So this is not just the fact that, okay, the new mom has really no time. There is another person she's responsible for. She's not getting enough sleep. So it's not as simple as the physical pressures that are there post-pregnancy that the mother has to deal with. It's not just that. It is something more than that.
Right, correct. It is more than just a normal sleep disturbance. It is this is basically a biochemical change in the brain that happens in the brain of the young mom. And I want to underscore the point that it is easily treatable and responds very well to treatment.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, how prevalent is it within the South Asian community? Because I rarely hear of this among my friends. And if you're saying it's 1 in 8, I should have heard of it more often.
Correct. So the statistics that we have are you know, mostly from here and are mostly based on studies that are done in Caucasians. We do not have much data on our community, on our immigrant community. But if we look at it globally, the fact that, you know, there is lack of support system here, there is limited support for young moms, there mm-hmm. is also pressures of work, pressures of finance, and then, of course, there is the newness to motherhood. My thoughts would be that the incidence would be slightly higher, if not much higher, than the prevalent 12.5%.
Why would you say that? Geeta, do you have some insights to offer on that?
Yeah, actually, you know, especially if, let's say, I'm just saying for mothers from South Asian community who have been having all these baby blues or all these sleeplessness, the general symptoms of depression more than 2 weeks, you know, it can go unrecognized. It can go like basically not treatable because there is such a mental block in going for treatment, especially for depression, because a lot of mothers may not even be aware because of all the pressures that Dr. Tami was saying, you know, taking care of the baby, no sleep and all that. We tend to kind of undermine that. You just kind of put it, hide under the shelf kind of a thing.
Now, Dr. Tami had mentioned the transient nature of postpartum blues, which is the normal feelings of being overwhelmed that most parents will go through. So help me understand this a little bit. Is it that if you don't take care of the postpartum blues, it can slip into a depression, or is it a category by itself?
I think typically, what I understand is the general depression is about 2 weeks, you know, but I also think postpartum depression, I know it can go, like Dr. Tami said, up to few months. Sometimes it can got more than that too. But if it goes beyond a certain time, which like about 4 to 6 weeks, that is a lot, that you keep feeling these feelings of irritability, feelings of, as it is, yes, there are physical factors, like you said, you know, because you don't sleep, you have to kind of, there is some hormonal imbalance, so there will be always irritability and all that. But if you feel that this is just going beyond what it's supposed to feel, okay, I really need to step back and see what's going on here. I need to just go get some help.
Right.
And that actually, in South Asian community, I don't know if a lot of mothers do. Even the data that I have is not specific to South Asian community. I have, like Dr. Tami said, overall
just
percentage.
An empirical experience.
Exactly.
Dr. Tami, what has your experience been with, have you treated patients with postpartum depression? And what, actually, it's a two-part question. One is that, and second is, if left untreated, where does it end? What happens?
So yes, I have treated women with postpartum depression at El Camino Hospital. We have a program called the MOMS program, or the Maternal Outreach Mood Services program, which is one of its kind in the country. And we started this program about 4 years ago in response to a community need assessment. So we found that in the community, in our local community in the Bay Area, there was little to no resources for young moms who suffered from moderate to severe depression. And over the course of past 4 years, I've treated several patients. We have unfortunately not had as many South Asian referrals as we would expect based on the number of births, number of South Asian births at El Camino Hospital. And I think this plays into what Geeta was talking about, which is the stigma, the difficulty recognizing that this is postpartum, and then difficulty accessing care, and also overcoming the stigma to acknowledge that there is a mental health condition that is treatable and to reach out and seek help. So I'm really glad we're talking about this, and and we're reaching out to your listeners so that they can recognize these symptoms in a young mom and direct her to help, which is there.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go through the symptoms of postpartum depression one more time so that people who are listening to the show can clearly identify, okay, this, I may be having it. And we'll talk a little bit more about the diagnosis and the resolution, and also what is the final form of postpartum depression. If left untreated, what happens? So you're listening to Parent Talk with Vidya, and we're talking about postpartum depression today with Dr. Nirmaljeet Dhami and therapist intern Geeta Narayanan. Welcome back to Parent Talk. We're talking with Dr. Dhami and Geeta Narayanan about postpartum depression, especially in the South Asian community. And as Dr. Dhami said, it's certainly, you know, the statistics among the general population is 1 in 8 women. So obviously it's something that probably affects quite a significant portion of the new moms in the Indian and the South Asian community as well. But we really don't hear much about it for many reasons. And one of the reasons is probably, you know, the stigma that's associated with it. But before we go and discuss that, I want to give out my number one more time. It's 510-770-1550. And this is a live show, and we welcome your calls. In case you're wondering whether you or someone you know may be suffering from PPD, it's a very treatable condition, as Dr. Dhami pointed out, and it really is the responsible thing to do is to reach out for help. So Dr. Dhami, before the break, we talked a little bit about the symptoms, but I want to lay it down very specifically so that a new mom who's listening can immediately say, yes, there is that is something that concerns me. That is something that I need to reach out for help for.
So in addition to the symptoms of depression, which are low energy, poor concentration, lack of motivation, changes in appetite, and sleep changes, postpartum depression is very, very unique, as I said before, because it presents with high anxiety. And usually that is noticed at high irritability. So mm-hmm. if young moms have very high level of irritability, they are easily agitated, they have difficulty falling asleep, and they have difficulty sleeping when the baby is asleep. They have excessive guilt. For example, they think throughout the day of how bad a parent they are. They have difficulty bonding or attaching to the baby, and their thoughts are they can't attach to their baby or they don't feel any bonding towards their child, and mm-hmm. they have difficulty with that. And
it just has to be on a sustained basis, because looking back, there are moments when all parents go through these moments of self-doubt, right? Mm-hmm. You're thinking about this, that it has to be like you're consistently feeling this and over right. a long period of time.
Right. So you bring up a good point, Vidya. I wouldn't stress as much on consistency, but rather that the quality of these thoughts is ruminative. Ruminative means they are repetitive thoughts. They keep coming into their mind, and it's difficult for the mom to distract herself or to reduce mm-hmm. these thoughts. And they in turn produce a high level of anxiety. There is also one more cardinal symptom of postpartum depression, which is, again, unique to postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. These are called intrusive thoughts. Because postpartum depression has very high anxiety with it, and because of the hormonal changes, women can have what in our world we call intrusive thoughts. These happen 40% of the time mm-hmm. in a woman who's suffering from postpartum depression. So their prevalence is very, very high.
What do you mean by intrusive thoughts?
Right. So intrusive thoughts are scary thoughts or scary images that come into a woman's thought process, and mm-hmm. they are so scary and so terrifying that they are afraid to talk to anybody about these. For example, they might have an image of harm coming to their child, like their child's they might see their child an image of their child being stabbed if they are close to a knife. So a lot of times women have these really disturbing images. Mm-hmm. They scare them, and they are afraid to share these with anybody. And as I said, 40% women who have postpartum depression have these intrusive thoughts.
But I also want to mention that if you don't have the intrusive thoughts, doesn't mean that you don't have PPD. It's
correct,
just
correct.
That if you have them, then you probably are a very strong candidate for PPD.
We mm-hmm. are looking at the moderate to severe spectrum of postpartum depression, but mm-hmm. the reason I'm bringing up the intrusive thoughts is because a lot of women who experience them feel very ashamed that they have had such terrible thoughts. These women have, you know, love their children, love their families. They have no intention of harming anybody, but they have these terrifying thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I just want to underscore that this is a component of anxiety in postpartum mm-hmm. and is treatable. In addition to that, severe postpartum depression can also generate suicidal thoughts. Moms can feel that their children are better off without them. Again, we're looking at the most severe spectrum at this point.
Uh-huh. What happens if the postpartum depression goes untreated for several months and the mother is just coping somehow, holding on barely, or there is a family support system that is sort of taking care of the child and the family dynamic while the mother is going through all this? What is the conclusion of this?
It varies. You know, we can go from the best case scenario to the worst case scenario. Clinically, if it's a moderate to severe depression that's untreated, that could lead to persistent suicidal thoughts, persistent hopelessness, and maybe a risk of completed suicide in moms, which is known to happen. I also want to kind of highlight a sequelae that we often don't talk about, which is how it impacts the growing child. We know that the first few years of birth are the most crucial, and a depressed mom, a mom who's struggling with postpartum depression or any other form of depression for that matter, studies have shown that these also impair the social bonding of the child. There are some issues with attention and conduct that can come up in children later on if maternal depression is untreated.
I do want to deal with that impact, but we have a caller. Let's quickly go to our call. Welcome to Parent Talk. Go ahead.
I just heard that what happens when it is not untreated. I just heard it, and I know already who had a severe depression and she's been untreated, and she's like, for almost a decade, she gave her delivery to her child, and people at her place, like, you know, mother-in-law and everyone, thought that she's crazy because she tried to commit suicide. And fortunately, she's surviving. I mean, like, but it's been untreated. I don't know how it's been decayed and how it's going to impact her, because there's no support system and nobody, like, you know, believes. And she's dependent on her family, so it's not that she can go out and take treatment, or, like, you know, it costs some money, all these issues. So if you could throw some light on what to do about it. Like,
I think the question, if I understand it correctly, is that we have a lot of these moms who may be in situation, in family situations, where they don't feel independent enough to go and seek out help themselves, and then the family is not really understanding about this issue or not aware of this issue. I think this must be more common than we think. Geeta, do you have any suggestions on what that person can do if she truly feels that she's depressed or that she's unhappy, or her friends realize that there is a problem going on, like our caller is suggesting? But there is no support from the immediate family.
Yeah, actually, that can be very, you know, completely terrifying for the mother. You know, feeling very helpless and frustrated, not knowing what to do. And one of the things I can think of is immediately see if she can talk to her doctor, immediate
primary doctor,
doctor, or the gynecologist that she visits, or the pediatrician.
That's
because
true.
Those are the people, because they all understand this. The doctors know what's going on. And the mothers, if she's feeling this for a very long time, so that's the first person she can talk to. And they can assess. Because once they assess, they can see what she can do, and then she can maybe, and then the family can be included, and then they can, there can be created more awareness and how they can do this together.
Thank you to our caller, and I just want to add to that, that if a new mom feels that she's being overwhelmed, but she says she thinks maybe it's not serious enough, would you still advise that person to talk to their doctor? I think maybe parents, mothers would say, I'm feeling overwhelmed, but this may not be serious enough. And maybe that's a situation where what should they do?
It is very important for the mom to talk to her primary care physician, or, as Geeta said, her OBGYN and her pediatrician. A lot of OBGYNs and pediatricians now have scales in their offices called the Edinburgh Postpartum Depression Scale, which is a very easy test to take. It takes 5 minutes, and it's a great screen for postpartum depression.
Is it like a survey?
It is. It's like a questionnaire.
It's a questionnaire.
It's an anonymous questionnaire. You can fill it out and give it back to your doctor. Of course, if you score high and if you score yes on the suicidal questions, they will follow up with that. But a lot of pediatricians and OBGYNs do this and are aware of this scale. I also want to underscore to all our listeners, especially the men out there and the support system out there, that it is the responsibility of the family to recognize this and get treatment for, you know, the young moms, because postpartum depression affects the mother but also affects the rest of the family unit. And the sooner we realize that, the better it is. But I really urge our listeners, especially the men and the extended family, to reach out and get help for the new moms.
Now, in the Indian context, in the South Asian context especially, we usually have a member of the family, like the mother or the mother-in-law or the parents, come over when the baby is born to help out. Does this actually contribute to hiding the problem to some extent, because the mothers, you know, the baby can be cared for by other people than just the mom? Is it possible, or does it help the process in the sense that it may stave off
a big help if somebody comes over, and especially your mom or the mother-in-law who has had a lot of experience in raising her own child. So definitely they would bring their experience and wisdom in sharing. At the same time, that doesn't mean, because they are there, doesn't mean the mother is not supposed to be feeling all this, because they are like two separate things.
I see.
Sometimes what happens is we tend to undermine, oh, you have all the supports, what's there to feel all this?
Exactly.
So, like, as though you're not allowed to feel these things. I can still feel, as a mom, I can still feel whatever symptom Dr. Dami said, because that's how my mind is, and that's how my mind, the biochemical, is functioning. So I cannot control that. So I think you can definitely have your mom, you can definitely have your in-laws helping you out, but that should not necessarily undermine what the mother is feeling. Still, it should be given its own importance and recognized, and get the treatment as and when it's valid. I think that's what is important.
I want to talk. Yes, go ahead.
So I wanted to underscore the biochemical nature of depression. Just as when you have diabetes and you have high blood sugar, in the same way, depression is a change in the brain, in the biochemistry of the brain, and it's treatable. And you know, American Psychiatric Association says a combination of therapy and medications is the best treatment for depression. And in my clinical experience, I have seen it work. So again, I want to underscore to everybody that this is not a transient. You know, you have high fever, therefore you can take Tylenol type of condition. This is a change in the brain chemistry that can have profound influences on the whole family unit and is easily treatable. All we have to do is recognize and then get the help that is needed.
I want to discuss the modalities of treatment, Dr. Dhami. I want to do that after the break. Before the break, since we're talking about symptoms and you know the consequences of untreated postpartum depression, I want to just touch upon a point that you mentioned earlier, which is what impact does it have on the baby and what impact does it have on the siblings and what impact does it have on the relationship? I mean, this obviously has like a radiating impact on the entire family structure and relationship structure. So if you could just touch upon that. Geeta, why don't you take that?
Definitely it will impact the mother and the child bonding if the mother is feeling all this and it is left untreated. Because what the bonding that the mother and the baby has in the initial first few weeks is very important because it teaches the child how to attach, in the sense how to be in relationship. And that is very important. The baby is learning only from the mother, whether you like it or not. That's how it works. And so if the mother is feeling all this, and like Dr. Dhami was suggesting, the mother cannot show how to do that to the baby.
Right.
So if that doesn't work, then it will impact that baby as and when the baby is growing up as a toddler, as an elementary school, or for the rest of his or her life, you know, in relationship with the peer, in relationship with the partner. So that's why
it
is scary responsibility. So that's why I feel it's overwhelming. So that's why we have to kind of give it its due recognition and treatment on time. Otherwise, it can be very damaging for the mother and for the child.
And what about the siblings?
Oh, the siblings, that by itself is difficult. You know, for siblings, it's hard enough for the sibling to share the mom with another baby, you know.
Right.
So that itself is hard. And then on top of it, the mom is not there. What happened to my mom? She was not like this. She used to play with me. She used to kind of do all these, you know, do crayon with me. But suddenly she's not there. I mean, she's there. When she's there, she's with a small baby. And, you know, she's angry. She's irritated. See, the sibling must be confused.
Right.
So I think that's why it is important to just treat it like a diabetes or blood pressure.
It's like any other illness, you would go and talk to the doctor about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's take another break. After the break, we'll talk a little more about the treatment. And of course, I want to stress again, as Dr. Dhami has been, that postpartum depression, like any other mental illness, is a fundamental change in the brain chemistry. And it is something that you need to treat just as you would treat any other illness that physically you suffered. You're listening to Parent Talk. Our call-in number once again is 510-770-1550, and we'll get back after the break. Welcome back to Parent Talk. We've been talking about a pretty serious issue today. It's postpartum depression. And in the couple of segments we had before, we talked a little bit about the symptoms very specifically and the fact that in the Indian community, it generally tends to go ignored or, you know, not recognized because of the stigma. And sometimes the new mom is not in a position to advocate for help for herself. So it is the responsibility of her immediate family to do the job for her, to see, to notice any small, significant changes in her mood and behavior and try to, you know, bring her, get her some help. In this segment, I really wanted to discuss treatment options with Dr. Dhami because I want to make sure that new moms understand that it's just like any other illness that has a protocol for treatment, and it's not something that is anything to be scared about. If you have an experience with PPD, please do give us a call at 510-770-1550. Once again, the number is 510-770-1550. So Dr. Dhami, I would say that there are two components to treating this illness, just like it is with many other mental illnesses, which is the medicine part, and then there is the therapy part. So can you shed some light on what are the medicines used to treat postpartum depression?
So, thank you for asking this question. This is one of my favorite topics. So with for treatment of depression, as I said before, it's a combination of medications and therapy. And I'll let Geeta take a dig at therapy in a little bit. But in terms of medications, we have data we have a huge amount of data that comes from around the world on treatment of postpartum depression. And some of these studies have actually followed women from pregnancy to when they've given birth to their children up to 20 years down the lane.
Let's quickly take a caller and then we'll get back to the medications.
Okay.
Welcome to Parent Talk.
Hi, this is Yadvendra. I just wanted to actually address one question. And this is not more for moms, but more in general for parents and their teenagers who are in high school or going to college. And if Dr. Dami could talk about depression in children and recognizing those symptoms. So I ran into some parents who asked about depression in kids and suicidal thoughts in children.
Well, thank you for the call. It's a little off our topic of postpartum depression, but I'm sure Dr. Dhami can quickly address that. And it's probably part of the spectrum of the medication that is used for treating postpartum depression as well.
Yes, thank you for your call. And I do believe this hits on two topics in our community that we're trying to work on. One is the stigma in accessing mental health care, and second is the treatment. The stigma part I want to address first is I think it's a responsibility of every parent and every support giver to understand, and when they notice a difference or a significant change in a person's mood, irritability, they're just not who they are, which is oftentimes what we hear from spouses
right.
of moms who are referred to us. Or for young adolescents, they're just not who they are. They're more irritable. They're more anxious. It's the responsibility for them to direct these children or young moms to the provider. I also want to underscore that because there is so much stigma and shame around mental health in general in our community, it is very, very hard for our new moms or these young teens to share suicidal thoughts. Therefore, it's very important for the family, if they notice any mention of these thoughts or if they comment on it in general, like life is not worth living, I'm not a good enough mom and my children are better off without me, or I'm not a good enough teenager, I'm not adjusting well in school. Those are the times when this has to be taken really seriously and get the help. And in terms of treatment of postpartum depression, it's similar to any depression, be it teenage. The treatment is medications and therapy, and medications work. We know that depression is a biochemical change in the brain. We know that the serotonin and dopamine balance shifts in the brain, and we know that the medications go back and reestablish this balance. So what I want to underscore here is that medications are not outside chemical salts that you're taking. You're not taking amphetamines. You are taking a medication that's going to go into your blood, cross the blood-brain barrier, and reestablish the serotonin imbalance, which has been there because of depression due to whatever trigger, which is for Yadvendra, this is the answer to your question, which it's the same in teenagers, and it's the same in young moms, and it's the same in young engineers, and it's the same in a housewife, and similar in a 70-year-old geriatric patient.
But for I would say there is one complication for the postpartum depression that I want to address that I'm sure moms would like to know, which is that what if they're breastfeeding their baby? This is a big fear that new moms will probably have, that if I go there and the doctor prescribes types of medication, how will it impact the child?
So again, I do want to address that a lot of our data comes from studies that are from Europe. Some of it is from research data that is gathered here. In terms of the labeling of medications, most labels say that medications should be used in caution or not used while breastfeeding.
Right.
The data that we have from European countries, as I said before, has basically followed these mothers who have used antidepressants in pregnancy after childbirth, and they followed their children up to college level, and they have shown no difference in outcomes on various level between children of moms who took antidepressants versus moms who were not depressed and did not take these medications. So we have a huge amount of data on that, that if you take the medication and depression is adequately treated, there is no adverse outcome in your children as compared to the general population.
And typically the drugs that are given for postpartum depression, are these like drugs that have been tested for several years? Because I know about Prozac, for instance, and I know that it's been around forever. So is there a big like data bank to support these findings?
Well, up to
findings?
Prozac has been around for about 30 plus years.
Right.
Some of our drugs are newer, but the most commonly prescribed antidepressant for postpartum depression is Zoloft.
Zoloft.
And that's we have the largest amount of data from around the world on that medication. There are some medications that are used for a more severe condition like postpartum psychosis, which some of which are newer, and we don't have much data on those. And in those cases, we recommend that mom does not breastfeed. But again,
what is psychosis? Before we move ahead with that,
so
how do you define that?
Postpartum psychosis is a psychiatric emergency. If this happens in any mom, this is something that mom should be taken for treatment right away, and I would recommend be taken to the emergency room. Psychosis is basically a break from reality. Postpartum psychosis is unique in its presentation because it doesn't present with the regular hearing voices or seeing things that are not there. It presents with extreme level of disorganization and fogginess and really bizarre behaviors. For example, I've had a patient in the past who had difficulty taking a shower because she couldn't figure out the steps that were involved in taking a shower. She had difficulty changing a diaper because she couldn't figure out that she had to first take off the baby's dirty diaper and then put a new diaper in place. And this was, you know, an educated person who was totally able to do all these tasks before. So it'll be a difficulty in decision making, a difficulty in thinking through, a difficulty in answering simple questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is usually very sudden in onset, it's very rare, but if it happens and there is this gross level of disorganization that a person's brain can't just think right, then that is postpartum psychosis, and that is also treatable. It's more commonly seen as a presentation of bipolar illness and not depression.
I see.
And commonly seen early after childbirth.
Let me ask a follow-up question on the medications. I think another thing that many new moms and even people in our community may be afraid of is that, will I have to take it forever?
So as I mentioned before, you know, postpartum depression is treatable, and what I have seen in my clinical practice is that if it is mild or moderate in category, or sometimes even moderate but not severe, then once a person has responded to medications and are symptom-free for a period of time, the medications can be gradually tapered off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if they've had a significant prior history of depression with suicide attempts, then we would not recommend that. I also think a lot of times what happens is that the medications are tapered off, but the therapy structure that's put into place can be continued, and that often provides a source of support. And therapy has also been shown to work in similar ways as medications, and change the serotonin balance, although it takes time to work, but does produce long-lasting changes.
So let's talk about the therapeutic treatments for postpartum depression.
Yeah, actually, in some situations, if a mother is suffering very from low to medium feeling of baby blues, that can be treated, you know, just by counseling or therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But if symptoms much persist longer than the period of time that we talked about, then medication and therapy would complement in treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is,
Is therapy a key part of the treatment?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a key part of treatment. I think it tends to complement. It's like people who are suffering from diabetes. They say taking the medication and you have to exercise and you have to have a diet.
Right.
It's like all of us, when you want to have a fit body, it's like exercise and eat well. It's like that. It's
right.
Compliments.
Okay.
So sometimes what happens is, because of all the stigmatization, you know, people tend to do either or.
Mm-hmm.
So I think especially for people who are suffering from postpartum depression, so it's important that they do both medication and going for therapy, because it just gives them some kind of emotional understanding, somebody who understands the frustrations, somebody who understands the feelings and helps them decide some realistic goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was saying, you know, that I'm able to take a shower today. I didn't need anybody's help, mm-hmm. or I'm able to change the child's diaper, I did it on my own, and all those small steps, somebody who can guide them.
Right.
And that is one form of thing, and individual therapy. When I mean individual therapy, just not for the mother, it would be helpful for the family also to get the support of therapy, because it just helps the family, the therapist helps the family to see what the mother is going through, because I think a third person can just help them understand. Mm-hmm. And then I also suggest, other than going to therapy, is also to see if the mother can go for support groups. There are different support groups that are available in the area where the mother feels, okay, I'm not alone in this. Mm-hmm. There are other mothers who are going through this sense of guilt, mm-hmm. sense of shame. So there is some support in that. So I think there are like different ways of handling this.
And we'll get to the resources towards, you know, we have a couple of more minutes, and I have a couple of more questions. One is, can fathers have postpartum depression?
Yes, they do have. And men do feel, because the mother and child is a big piece in their life right now when a mother is having a baby, some of the fathers, because they are not used to, you know, being expressive or feeling sad or whatever that is, they feel confused. So they do feel whatever the mother is feeling too. And that can go unrecognized and untreated, mm-hmm. if that is not brought to awareness.
So dads, if you're experiencing some of the symptoms we discussed today, it's absolutely normal,
and
absolutely seek out help.
Yes.
The same feelings of being overwhelmed are very legitimate, even if you're not the primary caregiver for that child. And my other question is, can you have a perfectly fine first experience with a child, but when the second child, you could have postpartum depression?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Yes, you can have postpartum depression with any birth. And if you've had postpartum depression before with a prior birth, then your chances of having one with a subsequent birth are higher, although it's not necessary. And a lot of times, clinically, what I've seen is that women have postpartum depression with their first child, but they've learned good self-care, healthy coping skills, and hence are able to put treatment plans in place before they have the second baby, and hence that serves as a preventive measure. In terms of resources, if we can get to those.
Yes, let's talk about that.
There are several resources in terms of depending on the severity of depression. Obviously, the first step is to talk to your OB or your child's pediatrician. And then resources can range from seeing an individual therapist. And I do believe that family work is integral to treatment, because mm-hmm. support from spouse and support from the rest of the family and an understanding of what the woman is going through is critical. The other treatment modalities include medications with therapy, and that could be done on an outpatient basis. El Camino Hospital offers a very unique program, one of its kind in the country, mm-hmm. called the Maternal Outreach Mood Services Program, and their number is 650-988-7841.
And listeners, we'll put up this number again on our page with the recording. So why don't you share the number again?
650-988-7841. And our program essentially deals with moderate to severe depression, but we do offer free screening to women, so you can call in and set that up if you meet criterias. We're also at El Camino Hospital in the process of opening an inpatient unit for moms who suffer from more severe depression and mm-hmm. probably severe bipolar illness and have had forms of postpartum psychosis. And again, this is going to be one of its kind on the West Coast and probably the second or the third of its kind in the country.
You're mentioning an 8-week program. Was that what it was? For the outpatient program.
Right. The program is actually intensive outpatient, so you have to meet criteria for moderate to severe depression, and mm-hmm. it's 4 days a week for 3 hours, and a lot of it is built around therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy, which is understanding your thoughts and your feelings and how they influence your behaviors, and also medications are an integral part of that program, although we do have from time to time moms who are not medicated mm-hmm. And just go with the therapy component alone.
Is it just for moms or is it for the family?
The program is just for moms, but the family component is built into it. So we do meetings with significant others or spouses. For example, I meet with their spouses or significant others in the second or the third week of the patient's stay in the program mm-hmm. To try and integrate that. And the therapists also meet with them at least once or twice to get them started. Mm-hmm. Our program is a starting point for treatment, and then as patients begin to do better, we do graduate them or step them down to outpatient care.
Is it a one-on-one program or is it a group program?
It's a group therapy program. So our groups are led by licensed therapists and are centered around themes on attachment, bonding, depression, self-care, and so on.
Geeta, what about other kinds of support groups for people suffering from postpartum depression? Are they available in the Bay Area?
They are, actually. If you go to www.postpartum.net and then you can just find more information about PPD and also the resources available in your area. And sometimes I think if you just talk to your doctor, your pediatrician or to your OBGYN, they would know more about up to date what is available depending on the severity of your depression, and they could make some recommendation. So, and I also think just this is just not for the moms, but I also think some of these classes would be helpful for the dads too.
Right.
And if there is anything that they do specific for the family so that the siblings can be included, so that they all can just go through it together rather than just mom just alone being treated as though there's something, so that she's not alone in this process.
Right.
You know, it's more like a family treatable thing. The family support is equally important for the mom so that she knows that the family kind of gets what I'm going through. So I think it should be done complementally with the family too.
And I think what this show has been trying to do is to show people that parenting is a tough job. We don't come prepared with any manuals, and it's something that we keep learning as we go along. And even though everybody, even though there's a societal expectations that the new baby should bring a lot of joy into the family, there are some real issues with postpartum depression, and it is, I think it is incumbent upon the mom and the people supporting her in the family to go and seek out treatment. And as Dr. Thami pointed out, the medical treatment for postpartum depression combined with therapy is a long-standing thing. There is nothing revolutionary about it. It's a simple thing that fixes the brain chemistry and provides the cognitive therapy support for the new mom to have a much better relationship with the child. We're coming to the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Dr. Thami and Geeta Narayanan, for being here today and sharing your thoughts
expertise. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us. And if I can just say a quick hello to my three kids who are listening.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love them very much. And thank you.
Before we finish, I just want to bring a couple of things to the attention of our listeners. One is, if your Saturday evening is free, if today is free, please go and check out Gina Yaha at the Albert and Janet Schultz Arts Hall Jewish Community Center today. It's from 5 to 9. And you're going to have such a good time with performances from the Indian Fusion Dance Academy, Mona Khan Company, Habib Khan, Saraswati Temple and Gurukul. And of course, the Gina children and their families are going to be putting on a great show for you. And dinner is included. So do check out this event at gina.org. It's Gina Yaha. And also, important announcement, we begin college month on Parent Talk next month. Starting June 2nd, every week we'll be talking about one aspect of college life, whether it is understanding which career path to choose, how to get into a good college, how to help our kids live independent lives, or how to cope with the stress of college. You can find the lineup of shows at indiacc.org/parenttalk. That's where you'll also find this show's recording as well as past shows. If you have an idea to share, do write to me at radio@indiacc.org. Same place next week for another show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye.